This podcast brought to you by Peterson Auto Group. With 5 stores and 10 brands and more than 1,800 new and used vehicles to choose from, Peterson Auto Group likely has your perfect car.
Live from the Next Title Studio, this is News Talk 670 KBOI.
This hour brought to you by A1 Heating and Air. Stay cool and comfy this summer with A1 Heating and Air Conditioning. Visit A1Heating.com.
If you're talking about it,
they don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
8:39, welcome to the show. David Allen in for Paul J. He is on vacation this week. He will join us again a week from today. Chris Walton here, Todd with 1D, pushing the buttons. I want to talk about this for a second because I always get aggravated by it. Chicagoans, and that's not the part I get aggravated by, are getting a break when it comes to paying a soft drink tax, but it may not last.
Oh, I heard about this.
A penny an ounce soda pop tax was slated to take effect on July 1, but the imposition was put off by a local judge after the State Retail Merchants Association and a group of local grocers challenged its legality. On Tuesday, today, the judge is expected to set a date for a hearing. So just today, we'll get the date of the hearing.
This would have applied not just to fountain drinks, or would it have been just fountain drinks?
Let me tell you.
Okay. I'll wait.
Seattle was the most recent, and now Massachusetts is considering becoming the first state to enact one.
Yeah.
Philadelphia soda tax, which began on Jan 1, was challenged in state court, but the tax opponents failed, and it went into effect. So the coalition that is formed to oppose the Chicago area tax poses arguments that have become familiar in other cities. Opponent says it violates the Illinois Constitution by failing to apply the tax evenly because some beverages are exempt. For example, the tax there would not apply to sweetened beverages that are made by hand, like those at a coffee shop.
Okay.
Municipalities that have similar taxes on sweetened beverages are paying attention because there might be at risk for similar challenges. Each tax around the country is different, obviously. Yeah. Some tax diet sodas, sure. Others don't. But the underlying principle of what a local government can choose to tax and the wording of the law is universal. Local store owners, soda pop companies, and bottlers worry about whether the taxes will drive down sales. Beverage manufacturers have warned of layoffs at factories and trimming drivers' routes. Any industry doesn't want anything that increases the cost of their products outside their control, like a tax. They also don't want anything that puts their products in a bad light.
Gotcha.
And that was from the director of research at Tigris Financial Partners. The reason this aggravates me is it's unnecessary.
Yeah.
What?
Well, it's like extra tax on alcohol or extra tax on cigarettes or anything like that. They essentially choose something that they see as bad for you and then add tax to it and you know, call it like a sin tax, which is their little joke.
Yeah. Here's the thing. If I want to drink a beer or I want to drink a liter of soda or I want to smoke cigarettes
whose choice is that?
That should be my choice. And so if I want to get diabetes or I want to get high cholesterol counts or I want to weigh 575 pounds, again, my choice.
Right.
There is no way a local government should be taxing sodas any more than you normally would get taxed if you go in and buy a dollar soda and taxes 5% or 8% or whatever it is. You shouldn't go in and buy a 12-ounce soda that costs a dollar and all of a sudden now have to pay $1.12 for it.
Exactly.
That's a load of crap. Pardon my French.
Well, exactly. And the whole point of it isn't necessarily to simply to collect more taxes.
No.
The whole point is to get you to stop drinking so much soda in the same way that the cigarette tax is mostly to get you to stop smoking cigarettes, et cetera, et cetera. Because this is the government saying, you know what, you need a babysitter.
And you know what? I don't. And if things are so bad for me, like cigarettes or beer or red meat or sodas, make them illegal.
Well,
just like meth is illegal and heroin is illegal.
On the other hand, that's just an extreme, you know, bit of what they were doing in the first place.
I understand that.
They're almost making them illegal.
They almost are.
By raising the price of them.
And it makes me insane. It just makes me insane. And I get so frustrated by government always, because government sometimes needs to be in your life. Well, it really does.
Okay, let's put it this way. If there is a factory and they are dumping their sewage into the drinking water, I'm thinking, yes, government, please step in.
Please do that. Yes, 100% agree. 100% agree. Yeah,
like that stuff that was going on in Flint, Michigan.
Yes.
Okay, please step in and help here.
Unfortunately, that was the government that was screwing that water up.
But yeah, okay.
The federal government should step in and stop the local government from poisoning the people in Flint, Michigan.
Exactly. It doesn't always work correctly.
But if I want to drink a 16-ounce soda every single day of my life,
do it.
I should be able to do it without having to pay extra for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so incredibly aggravating year in and year out how government tries to just get a little bit. Just a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is
and the problem is that you can't stop it because the courts end up siding with the government, and I don't know why that is.
This is something on which our current president ran for president.
Yes.
One of those things was deregulating a lot of things that previously have been regulated unnecessarily. Now, I'm hoping that they don't end up deregulating something that needs to be regulated. Like I said, you know, like the water in Flint, Michigan. But like you said, the government wasn't taking care of that in the first place.
And that's the thing. I don't want to make it to where everyday life is dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to make that. So, you know, there needs to be stoplights. There needs to be stop signs. There needs to be stoplight cams. Okay. There needs to be all those things.
I'm with you on that.
And there needs to be, you know, you have to drive 65 miles an hour on the freeway. You can't do 150 on the freeway. I get all that. But gee whiz, if I want to smoke a Marlboro, and I've never smoked a day in my life, and I hate the fact that they're taxed so much. And if I want to go to a restaurant and there's smoking in the restaurant, then, and if I don't like cigarette smoke in my restaurant, you know what I'm going
to
do?
Go to a different place?
Go to a different restaurant.
There you go.
Because there's no way that a government should tell a business owner who's working his butt off every single day to keep his business going and say, you can't have smokers.
Right.
I just don't get it. It frustrates me incredibly.
You seem a tad riled.
I am a bit riled up.
All right.
Brian and Boise, you hang on for me. We're going to get you after the break. But first,
this is Idaho Talks Live with Paul, Jay, and Chris. More local talk with Nate Shellman is live this afternoon at 3 on 670 KBOI.
8:51 now at 670 KBOI. David and Chris with you on 670 KBOI. We are talking about the intrusion of government in our daily lives as Chicago looks to not have a penny an ounce soda pop tax. Brian in Boise, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you guys today?
We are doing well. Thank you very much for calling in.
So I just moved to Boise from Washington State. And listened to your station since I've been here. Really like it.
Thank you.
Here's what I want to say about the topic of this morning and that tax. First of all, I agree with you. The tax is not going to solve anything. Those of us, like me, addicted to soda pop, will drink it regardless. But here's what I will say. Your comment about if I want to drink pop, I'll do that. And I don't want to get in an argument with a riled up guy, as you mentioned earlier before the break. But when I hear that statement, I get a little riled because I say to myself, if you're a multi-billionaire and your actions only impact you, have at it. But, for example, in Washington, we have a helmet law. Here we don't. And so in Washington, of course, all my motorcycle friends are, I want to have the right to ride without a helmet. And I say to them, well, if you get in an accident and you have a head injury and you have the money to pay for it, have at it. Otherwise, you're relying on the rest of us to pay for your decisions. And so that's where I break away from your comment of, hey, I can do what I want. If that's what I want, it's America, and I'm free to do that.
Brian, on that issue, I agree 100%. I rode a motorcycle for 20 years, never rode without a helmet. It always used to bug me that there were seatbelt laws but not helmet laws in New Mexico and Texas.
And I'm just using that as an example. You know, I'm in Idaho. It really still kind of freaks me out seeing everybody riding without helmets. I do see a number of people riding without helmets, and I'm just using that as an example.
Okay.
And you could say, from my house, I see bogus pacing. Okay. So when you have health insurance, does the health insurance company say, hey, if you want to, you can go skiing and break your leg, and we'll make sure we'll pay for it? It's my choice to go skiing, but if I get hurt, hey, you have to pay for it.
I guess I have health insurance, and I go in for my wellness checkup every single year.
However, if a lot of people get hurt, the insurance prices will go up. And
how can they go up any more than they already have?
Oh, believe me. Believe me.
The choices that we make impact others. That's the only thing that I'm saying here. And so if I'm drinking soda and, I'm 60 years old, just saw the doctor, he said, you might want to stop doing that. You're not on the edge, but you're moving that way.
Yeah, and like I was saying about business regulations, I mean, our right. president was elected largely, I think, on making life easier to do business. Mm-hmm. And the only thing I said is, okay, fine, but don't get rid of the regulations that actually do hurt other people just so, somebody can do business while other people suffer. There's kind of a fine line sometimes where you don't know, whether you're crossing it or not.
Brian, welcome to Idaho, brother. We appreciate it. And thanks for listening.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
While he's right, the only thing I'll say to him is let's say that they did a penny an ounce tax here mm-hmm. on sodas. So I have health insurance. I buy my dollar soda. And so if there's no tax and I drink a soda every day, everyone's paying for it. Well, if it's a penny an ounce tax, I'm still going to buy my soda every day, which means everybody's paying for it. Everybody's been paying for everybody else's health insurance for a long time.
Well, true.
And I don't know where a penny an ounce is going to change things.
Not everybody's, but a large number of people.
A large number of people who don't have health insurance. We all pay. I've paid for that for a long, long time.
Because that's how it works. I mean, you get into an accident. The paramedics show up, the ambulance shows up, they take you to the hospital, they treat you.
Yes.
And at some point they will ask you if you have insurance, but whether you do or not, they'll probably still fix whatever's broken.
21 years old, I had a motorcycle insurance, I had a motorcycle accident, got hit by a car.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the hospital 8 days. There was an elderly gentleman in the bed next to me. So it was the two of us in the room. So his whole family's around, and there was somebody from the administration. I'm trying to sleep, and there's somebody from the administration there saying, your grandfather doesn't have health insurance, so we have to transfer him to BCMC, which was Bernalillo County Medical Center.
Right.
And they said, well, we're going to talk about it. And they said, no, you don't understand. You don't have health insurance. You don't have any choice. We're going to transfer you to BCMC. So while I'm laying in there from my motorcycle accident, I'm thinking, as this guy gets transferred, my part-time job that I've been paying is going to help pay for this guy's trip to BCMC to be taken care of. So even at 21, even 34 years ago, I had my health insurance and was also paying for somebody else's, even 34 years ago. And nothing has changed in the last 34 years. And a penny an ounce tax on sodas or whatever you want to do is not going to change that fact. If you want to lower health care rates or you want to make sure that health insurance is good or people are healthy, then start outlawing some of these things.
And a great deal of obesity is caused by lack of motivation or just lack of getting up and doing things.
Sure, 100%.
Being sedentary. And we keep inventing things to make people considerably more sedentary than they used to be.
Yeah. Anyway, that's my half-hour rant. Coming up after the break, Chris gets to pick the topic, and we'll let him rant for an hour.
That'll be fun.
We'll also have tickets next hour to give away to the Snake River Stampede. So keep listening for your chance to win. National news comes up next on 670 KBOI.
This hour brought to you by A1 Heating and Air. Stay cool and comfy this summer with A1 Heating and Air Conditioning. Visit A1Heating.com.
If you're talking about it,
they don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
Welcome back to the show. David Allen, Chris Walton here with you. It's time for the 102nd Annual Snake River Stampede, July 18th through 22nd at the Ford Idaho Center in Nampa. Boasting a $400,000 payoff, the Snake River Stampede is one of the top 10 regular season professional rodeos in the nation and great family fun. And because you're listening right now, if you're the sixth caller at 336-3711, 336-3711, you will win a family four-pack of tickets to the Snake River Stampede.
Mm-hmm.
336-3711, 336-3711, give us a call now. Caller six, you're a winner. Chris, take away the show.
Where should I take it?
Down the hall to the left.
I had a question, and this has to do with the kind of what we were talking about the last half hour.
Okay.
And it has to do with motorcycles in traffic.
Okay.
All right. lately there seem to have been a lot of motorcycle accidents and motorcycle deaths. And I was just wondering if there is a reason for the increase, or am I just noticing it? Has it always been about the same number? Or, you know, I don't know. Are people just riding motorcycles more recklessly?
Well, and again, I haven't been on one for 10 years, so
okay.
I'm maybe a little bit out of the loop. Mm-hmm. But for me, I would say I don't know that it's a causality, mm-hmm. but the nicer weather brings out more motorcyclists.
Okay, and that makes sense.
Because even in, whether it be New Mexico, Texas, or Idaho,
yeah.
the winters are not...
Well, the way our winter was this year in December and January, I didn't see very many motorcycles. You're absolutely right.
But even in New Mexico and Texas...
Didn't see many bicycles during that time either.
There's a difference. When I first started riding, I first started riding at 18, and you're in a situation where you have to get up in the morning and go to work, and you're like, oh, it's 45 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
And you think, oh, if it's 45 degrees, I can get in my car and just wear a light jacket and I'm good to go. It's a lot different if you're on a motorcycle at 45 degrees going 65 miles an hour.
All right.
So you don't ride it as much in the winter, and I usually sometimes put my bike up completely during the winter months.
There are three kinds of people I would like to hear from right now.
Okay.
If you fall into one of these categories, please do call if you have an opinion. And our local number is 336-3700. That's our local number, 336-3700. And you don't need to necessarily be in Boise to call.
No, no.
Our number from outside Boise is 1-800-529-KBOY or 1-800-529-5264. But there are three different types of people I'd like to hear from right now. One would be those who regularly ride motorcycles.
Okay.
And when you are in traffic, when you are dealing with vehicles, whether it be in the city, on the freeway, or simply on a highway, are there people who don't have a clue what to do when they see a motorcycle if they're driving a car?
I can answer that question for you.
Okay, what would you say?
The answer is yes.
All right. And, you know, and how do you get treated compared to how they treat other people who, you know, simply are driving cars? Now, the second group I would like to hear from are those who drive cars, have probably never been on a motorcycle, and do you... You know, how do you treat it when you see a motorcycle in traffic? And not only that, but do you think that sometimes motorcyclists are a little reckless?
Some of them are, yes. I'm a motorcyclist, and I will agree.
Do you feel that way about it? Now, the third group of people that I might like to hear from are those who regularly ride bicycles. When you regularly ride a bicycle, do you follow the rules? And, you know, and do you know them? And do you think that those who drive cars know the rules about what to do when they see a bicycle on the road? Again, 336-3700 is our local number to call.
1-800-529-5264, #670 on your Verizon wireless.
Because it just seems like especially the last couple of years, there have been a large number of cars hitting bicyclists.
Yep.
There have been a large number of motorcycle accidents, whether they were a motorcycle by itself or, a car colliding with a motorcycle in some way. And a lot of people have been, you know, injured or badly, badly injured or killed. And I just wonder, I mean, is it still viable to let every kind of vehicle, you know, out on the freeway? You know what I mean by that?
Are you talking about semis, cars, and motorcycles?
Yeah, yes.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Semi-trailers, big trucks.
Yeah.
They're out there. They're out there with the cars. They're out there with the motorcycles. We don't let bicycles on the freeway.
No, that's a good plan.
I mean, they can ride down a highway, but not a freeway. Obviously, we don't let golf carts out on the regular roads. You can't rev up a go-kart and take it out on the road.
Nope.
There are a lot of things you're not supposed to do, but it seems like the most dangerous tend to be people either on motorcycles, or it's the most dangerous for the driver if you're on a motorcycle or a bicycle. Is there anything that needs to change? But I just wondered, how are you, if you are a motorcycle rider or a bicycle rider, how are you treated in traffic?
336-3700, 1-800-529-5264, #670 on your Verizon wireless. We have Jim, who wants to talk about motorcycles. We'll get to that in a second. I will tell you, we have our Snake River Stampede winner, Joe, is that Fuller? Was that a U? Looks like an I. Joe Fuller snagged a family four-pack from us, so he's mm-hmm. going to go to the Snake River Stampede. Listen this afternoon between 3 and 7 and 8 Shellman. He's got another family four-pack to give away. Chris and I are talking motorcycle safety and car safety around motorcycles. We'll do more of that next. It's 9:13 on 670 KBOI.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 10, listen to Rush on 670 KBOI.
9:19 now at 670 KBOI. KBOI rewards code is motorcycle. MOTORCYCLE, motorcycle.
MOUSE.
Enter that keyword at KBOI.com. Get your 5,000 rewards points. You also get one of those little Evel Knievel wind-up toys from back in the 80s.
Now, full disclosure here on... you used to ride a motorcycle.
Yes, I rode for 25 years.
Right. When you were about 21, you were in a bad motorcycle accident.
Yes.
Okay.
Car ran a red light and hit me.
Exactly, which is not a good thing.
No, it's the opposite of what you're looking for.
I will tell you my experience with motorcycles. Are you ready?
Yes.
I have been on one once.
And?
I did not drive it myself. Okay. I was in the back of somebody else's motorcycle. I don't know if you remember John DeWayne that used to be on another radio station here.
Nope.
You haven't been there.
Yeah,
that long,
6 years is all I've
been
here.
But he was on like in the 70s, and then he was gone for most of the 80s, came back in the 90s, and he was on and had a morning show for 10 or 11 years, and he and I were pretty good friends. And he took me for a motorcycle ride just one time. And I didn't even know he was going to start the thing up. And so I didn't know enough to even grab hold of him like around the middle.
Holy smokes, yeah.
And so I was holding on by I had my arm,
sure.
my hands behind me on that little whatever.
Sure.
The little bar there. And as far as I was concerned, it was a tad terrifying. And all we drove about a block. That was it. And I don't know. I'm not necessarily cut out to go really fast. Let's put it that way. Could be obvious to a lot of people. Anyway, I don't know. I mean, I don't have any experience with motorcycles. However, I naturally have shared the road with a lot of them.
Sure.
And I will say I've never pulled out in front of one, even though we've seen that commercial. Everybody's seen that commercial mm-hmm. where the person looks, they see a motorcycle coming, and they pull out anyway.
Still pull out, exactly.
And I don't know why that is. It's something, I guess, that's in their... it's in the DNA or something.
I think it's two things from being a motorcyclist and a car driver is that when you take driver's ed, all the scenes you see and all the things, you're gauged to see something that's 6 feet wide or however wide a car is that has double lights.
Yeah.
And you're not used to seeing something really thin that only has the one light.
Well, and a lot of people drive, they drive in sort of an auto, they put their brain on autopilot.
Yes.
Absolutely. I mean, you don't necessarily think about each little thing when you are driving.
And the other thing is people have a hard job gauging how fast a motorcycle is going.
Yeah.
If you see a car doing 60, you go, oh, that car's doing 60. If you see a car doing 60, I mean, a motorcycle doing 60, the bike might only be doing 40. He just looks faster than everybody else. Let's see what the listeners think. Jim, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you, sir?
Morning. How are you doing?
Doing well.
Yeah, I had a motorcycle for a brief period, like a year. When I was 23,
mm-hmm.
and it's 69-70, I moved to California, and I roomed with a guy who had a 350 Honda. I got a 175. Anyway, I went through my requisite accidents on a motorcycle and got it out of my system. Now I don't ride anymore. But the reason I was really calling in was when you first started talking about this, Chris was mentioning the carelessness of motorcycle drivers, and that's true. But also, he never mentioned the carelessness of drivers. And these days, it is much more risky out there, whether you're driving a car or a motorcycle. Now, I like riding a bicycle. I ride a bicycle all over the place. I try to ride on the sidewalk unless there's a lane. But you can't believe the freedom, and I mean freedom, you have riding a motorcycle being away from that traffic.
No, I agree with you, Jim. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it. And there's nothing better. That's how after my accident, I actually did the opposite. I didn't say, well, I've had an accident mm-hmm. and I got to get rid of my motorcycle. 6 months later, I got a motorcycle and said, well, now I'm immune because I've had my accident. So there's nothing that can stop me.
It's like moving into a house that's pre-disaster.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. And so I just started buying faster. I loved going fast, so I had Crocs Rockets all the time.
Yeah.
And so I went faster than the traffic, and then I never had to worry about traffic.
Now let me say this. I'll change what he said by at least a small percentage.
Yes.
I did not mean to indicate that I think people who ride or drive motorcycles are reckless or careless. What I said is there have been a lot of accidents lately where motorcycle riders, drivers have been killed. And a lot of times it's because they collide with cars.
You're always
going to
lose
trucks.
That, whether it's the motorcyclist's fault or the car's fault. You always lose.
Absolutely. I mean, it's usually just based on the size of the bigger vehicle generally wins.
Exactly.
And I'm not saying it's the motorcyclist's fault. I was wondering what people think about it. And I more or less asked the question. I know there are lots of car drivers who basically, probably I don't even know how they walk through the door in the morning because it seems like they're too stupid to be driving a car. And we run into them. Well, okay, let me rephrase that. We try not to run into them every day.
That's a good idea.
But we do see them every day.
Yes. Steve in Boise, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you?
Very well. How are you today?
Doing well. Thank you.
Good.
What can we do for you?
I'm calling in about the motorcycle radio program.
Yes, okay, sir. Yeah, you're on with David and Chris.
Yeah, what's your opinion?
Oh, okay, great. Yeah, I used to ride motorcycles. That's been some 40 years ago. Now I drive and I ride a bicycle and also walk. And I find that by and large, other drivers on the road are very attentive and even considerate, but there just seem to be an increasingly large component of people, no matter whether they're walking, biking, or motorcycling, or driving their car, who are inattentive, inconsiderate, and in some cases even aggressive, and they just make it much more dangerous for everybody.
Do you have? I mean, have you noticed any reasons for that? Do you know why that could be?
The aggressiveness. I don't know. Just overall anger, or I can't really explain it.
Well, it's like that road rage thing. There are people who claim they never lose their temper, in any other situation, but they get out on the road, and all of a sudden, they're basically in charge of a deadly weapon.
Yeah, they need to seek help for that, because that's a very dangerous place to let your anger get away from you.
I would imagine so.
That's a very good point, Steve. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it. And he's right. And I don't know if it's people's, the inattentive driving mm-hmm. from everybody. I don't know if it's because everybody has just so many things. It used to just be you had an AM, FM radio. Now you've got a multiple CD player. You've got your smartphone. You've got Bluetooth. You've got.
But even if you don't have any, even if you don't have any electronic distractions, I think there are some people who still, they're driving as if they are, easy rider.
And you have a dog sitting on your lap.
Yeah, something of that nature.
Which frustrates the heck out of me. All right, Gary and Paul, you guys hang on. We're going to get you after the news. Rick Worthington comes up next. You're listening to 670 KBOI.
The most common enemy of art is light. Damage can happen.
Remember, you are listening to Idaho Talks Live on 670 KBOI.
9:37 now at 670 KBOI. Hang on, I have something to do here. Stand by. This portion of the show, sponsored by Traffic Text Alerts. Don't get stuck in traffic this summer. It's just too darn hot for that. Get Traffic Text Alerts from 670 KBOI. Yeah. All you have to do is text the word DRIVE to 67664, and the alerts will come right to your smartphone.
And probably don't look at it while you're actually in moving.
Probably a best bet there. Traffic Text Alerts from Right Now Traffic and 670 KBOI.
But when you get to a stopping point, do look, because it might save you quite a bit of time.
Let's go back to the phones. 336-3700, 1-800-529-5264, and #670 on your Verizon Wireless. We are discussing motorcycles and driving and all that entails. Let's go out to Emmett. Gary, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you today?
Yes, I'm fine. How are you?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Okay. I used to ride the Harleys back early 80s and cast iron one, and I'd take it to Boise, and never had any issues because I was a defensive rider and try to keep a 360, visual if at all possible. But it's really looking around you on a motorcycle that's important. And then the factor of, road rage, you just can't afford that on a motorcycle. You just have to blop that out of your equation there at all, totally.
Let me ask your opinion on something, Gary. I was telling Chris this in the break, and let me see if you're the same way. Because, again, I started riding a motorcycle at 18. I think riding a motorcycle made me a better car driver. Do you think it made you a better car driver?
Oh, I think so. I really have a lot of respect for those guys on bikes now, because I know how it is to be on one. And I used to take flying lessons years ago, and my instructor kept telling me that airplane 20 times safer than that motorcycle and 10 times safer than a car. But I don't know if that's true or not.
Yeah, I don't know if I would agree with that or not either, Gary.
I was afraid of flying, and he was, and I didn't. I wasn't just working for a license. I was also overcoming fear.
Yeah, sure.
And I had a double whammy against me. But anyway.
Gary, thanks for checking in today. We appreciate the call.
Hi, you're welcome.
That overcoming fear thing has never been
doesn't work for you?
It's never been one of my strong points. Yeah. Let's put it that way.
I will tell you, and it didn't work for you, but I will tell you, you drive a motorcycle once, you are a fan forever, man. I miss it every day.
Quick instant message here.
Sure.
Curtis, he says, I think you're getting a lot more people in the valley, which is true, which adds up to more traffic. The motorcycle is getting faster and the rider less experienced. As a rider, you have to be offensive and defensive. You need to be more observant than the cars. 40 years, no accidents. Some luck there as well.
Sure.
Like you said, a car hit you. But as a rider, if the light is red and heavy traffic and you see me pull up to the front of the line, don't honk and yell at me. I will be gone as soon as the light turns green and promise not to block you or ride slowly. As far as bicycles go, the biggest issue is riding in the lane of traffic. You are impeding traffic. Move over 3 feet is not always possible.
I will tell you that the thing I notice the most about motorcycles is that people are buying motorcycles that are too big for them. If when the motorcycle stops, you can't put your feet flat on the ground, motorcycle's too big for you. Yeah, that's one of the main things I learned.
That is a good point, because how are you supposed to just sit there and balance?
Exactly. Paul in Eastern Oregon, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you today, sir?
Oh, so far, so good.
Good.
How about yourselves?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Oh, good. What I was going to mention was I've driven semi, motorcycles, drive a car, actually a pickup. And I've got the same complaint about all of them, is tailgaters.
Mm-hmm.
Is when you're rolling down a road in a semi, especially in a congested area like Boise, I've driven through there many times, is people tend to tailgate, and they get back behind you where you can't see out of either mirror where they are. And then there's people cutting in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a lot of fun either. The other thing is on a motorcycle, again, in congested areas, people tend to tailgate. And the only way you can get away from is to try to get as close to the vehicle ahead of you safely.
Yeah, which it's very difficult to do that safely anyway.
Yeah, and then people try to cut in front, which, you know, kind of raise the adrenaline level a little bit.
Paul, I'm gonna do confess my sins here. When I was first starting out riding in Albuquerque, and it was, you know, September, October, November, there's nothing better, brother, than getting in behind a semi really close, because the wind goes all around you as a motorcycle rider, and you guys were a great buffer against the wind. I was watching your brake lights the whole time. Because I just knew that if you stopped, I was a bug splattering against the back of your semi. But when you're riding the wind, there's nothing better than getting in behind a semi, brother, and having you guys brace the wind for me.
Oh, on the open road, you know, away from towns and stuff, all this stuff is not so bad. But like I said, you get in congested areas, and especially driving a semi, you can't see what's behind you.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Sorry. Thanks for checking in from Eastern Oregon, Paul. We appreciate you listening, man. Thanks. Yeah, I did it in the non-congested areas. That's when I did it.
Sure. Micah Boise says a big part of the traffic rage is people moving to new places, and then they drive like where they came from, and the natives have been driving a certain way, and they are two very different ways of driving.
True enough.
Yes, I've heard that from most people who come here from California. Mix them all together, and you have traffic mayhem. That's what traffic laws are for, but no one pays any attention to that. That's true. There's just kind of a flow.
No, 100% correct, yes.
How many times, I wonder, how many times has a policeman heard from somebody that they've pulled over, well, I was just trying to stay with the flow of traffic?
Mm-hmm. I'm sure it happens every day when they stop people. All right, VJ and Justin, you guys hold on. We'll get to you after the break. We're talking motorcycles and car safety and motorcycle safety and highway craziness. It's 943. You're listening to 670 KBOI.
You're listening to Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. and Chris. Rush Limbaugh comes up at 10 on 670 KBOI.
948, David Allen, Chris Walton here with you. Let's head back to the phones. Justin, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you?
I'm good. How about yourself?
We are doing well, sir. Thank you for checking in today.
Yeah. I'm with the Idaho Coalition for Motorcycle Safety.
Great.
We've been studying this for quite a long time.
What do you got for us?
You guys were talking about, size of motorcycle. A motorcycle appears to be going slower than mm-hmm. what it actually is.
Mm-hmm.
We've been doing the ITD study with the study, the reports that come out with ITD, and one thing we're finding is alcohol is a big factor in motorcycle accidents. Braking and cornering are two of the biggest factors. I don't have the numbers in front of me right now. I'd have to look them up.
Sure, that's fine.
Over 40, riding a cruiser is a big factor. Also, not having any rider training mm-hmm. is one of the biggest factors of what's causing motorcycle accidents.
Do you not have to take a motorcycle safety course for like a week here before you can get a motorcycle license?
If you're over 21, you are not required to take any training.
Interesting. Okay.
But you do have to take a rider test.
Okay.
And everybody has to take the written tests. But if you take a motorcycle rider training through the Idaho STAR program,
mm-hmm.
then you don't have to take the writing exam.
Oh, okay.
Well, I've seen them doing that motorcycle training, over at the junior high that's just off Fairview and Meridian. I've seen it over in that parking lot a lot.
Mm-hmm. Well, they've got sites all over the state.
Yeah.
Justin, I appreciate you calling in and enlightening us. I didn't know some of those rules.
Yeah, and then another thing for motorcyclists is always know you're invisible.
Yes.
Don't expect the vehicle to see you because there's many places where you can be in a blind spot.
Mm-hmm.
For vehicles, always look out for motorcyclists.
100% agree, Justin. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
Yep, you bet.
I liked driving a motorcycle that looked fast sitting still.
And let's see, I have learned something today.
All right, what's that?
Now, the fact of the matter is I don't drive anymore. And I do not, I don't travel much anyway. So I was under the impression that you could not ride a bicycle on the freeway. Apparently you can, just not in urban areas. Like, for instance, in Portland, okay, in Oregon, in the Portland area and in the Medford area, you can't be on a bicycle on the freeway, because it's so congested. But practically every place else in Oregon that there's a freeway, you can be on it. And this is true of, I think the list is about 12 different states. In fact, there are only about 20 states or so where you can't be on the freeway with a bicycle at all. And mostly those are places like New Jersey.
Back
that are
east,
just,
I was going to say.
Yeah, well, essentially, that are very congested.
Yeah.
But in Montana, Nevada, Idaho, places where we have a lot of wide open spaces, and Texas and Utah,
mm-hmm.
Wyoming, you can be on a bicycle on the freeway most places in those states. So thank you for calling in. I'm not sure who was it that called in because he didn't stick around. But
let's wrap up the calls right now with VJ in Meridian. VJ, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you?
Pretty good. How are you this morning?
We're doing well. Thank you, sir, for calling in.
Hey, I'm a school bus driver, and one of the pet peeves I have with bicycle riders is that when a school bus has got its red lights on, they'll go ahead and pass on a right while we're trying to load or unload students.
Wow.
And it just drives me berserk. They got to follow the same rules as the cars. And the other thing is that on a three-lane or less road, opposing traffic has to stop for a school bus.
But not on a four-lane, right?
Not on a five-lane.
That's what I mean, with the middle turn lane. So two lanes on
correct.
Either side and a middle turn lane. Like going down Eustick, you don't have to stop if you're going the opposite way.
Correct.
I say that every day, VJ. People stopping for the school bus coming the other way, and I'm like, you don't have to stop! Ah! All right, VJ, thanks for checking in. We appreciate it.
You know,
I've been in neighborhoods because, you know, I would go home around noon or so.
Sure.
And there are a lot of kindergarten kids that are being dropped off, and they pick up the afternoon kindergarten kids at the same time. And I've seen people, when a bus was stopped and kids were getting on the bus in a neighborhood, where they just drove around it like they had no idea that you were supposed to stop for a bus. And the stop sign on the side of the bus was out.
Out. This is the first place I've ever lived where bicyclists have been a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm kind of used to some of the things they do, like not stopping for red lights.
You lived in the Dallas Metroplex for years.
Albuquerque was even too big and spread out for bicycles.
Okay.
And so the not stopping for red lights, I'm okay with. I don't notice that much anymore. The pet peeve I have now is bicyclists who drive the wrong way on a one-way street. And I'll use an example here of the fact that when I'm leaving the station and I come out and 15th Street is one way, so I'm looking down to see if the traffic's coming, and I start to go, and a bicyclist is coming the other way, and I almost hit the bicyclist. While it's not my fault, I don't want to hit a bicyclist.
Well, true.
If the street's one way, just please drive the one way. So,
Billy of Boise says, I would like to go on record to say that the motorcyclists that are getting in wrecks are, for the most part, complete idiots. Now, I am not talking about all of them. There are true accidents, but I have been riding for decades, never been in a wreck because I don't ride like an idiot. I have seen the worst and the best of people in traffic and have had numerous close calls, but because I was paying attention, I rode away from it. But it was all me, simple as that. The fact is, if you're riding a bike in traffic, you can trust no one but yourself to stay safe. You have to practically have eyes in the back of your head, which is the main reason I don't and never have worn a helmet. I see it as a way to let your guard down. There are two ways to look at it, in my opinion. You can hit the road with all the armor you can wear and be prepared to be hit by someone, or you can avoid being hit in the first place. In my case, I choose to be free to look around and be unencumbered by protection. It's very restricting, and that to me is more dangerous.
I'm just going to respectfully disagree. I'm not saying he's wrong. I'm just going to respectfully disagree because I wore a helmet every single day from the time I was 18 and got my license to the time I stopped driving in my early 40s.
Yeah.
And I was never restricted, and I had perfect vision. But I'm not saying he's wrong. I'm just saying I'm respectfully disagreeing from me wearing a helmet for 20 plus years right. of riding a motorcycle, and I never had an issue with not being able to see and or hear fire trucks, ambulances, police, whatever it might be. If I hadn't done it, I'd say maybe you're right, but I never had an issue. So I'm just, like I say, he's not wrong. It's his opinion. This is my opinion. Yeah. Neither of us is wrong. We're entitled to our opinion, and we can just go from there.
Yeah. Well, and it's like, you know, everybody thinks that they drive safely. And a lot of people say, well, I don't wear a seatbelt, all these different things, because I do drive so safely. It's not about you. It's
yeah.
about the person who is unpredictable.
Yeah, because I did everything right. My light turned green and I went and got hit. Rush comes up after the news on 670 KBOI.